God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's thank God for our brother Mark for leading us so well. Thank you, brother. Well, horror in the headlines again. 50 precious souls. We got to see for you, brother. Help our brother out. 50 precious souls were murdered in a mosque in Christ Church, of all places, Christ Church, New Zealand. Tragic. Pray for those families. And then closer to home, 16-year-old Eastside football player, Jermaine Falconer, dreams, hopes of going to the NFL, just in the weight room, trying to work out. Last week, week and a half, passed out and died on the spot. 16 years old. So sad. So young. Can I see your eyes for a moment? Life is so precious, but oh so short. I don't look forward to this, but I cannot stop it, brothers and sisters. There will be another City of Joy-related funeral coming too soon. Death always comes too soon. And we will walk through the valley of tears again together. It may be my funeral. Maybe yours. So let me say it again. Life is very precious, but oh so short. Friends, because this is true, we should seek with all our hearts to maximize every fading moment we have on earth for what really matters, for what really matters. And God graciously shows us here in Acts 20, what really matters. Can you turn in your Bibles? If you've never listened, I really encourage you today, young and old, to listen as God speaks. Acts chapter 20. If you don't have a Bible, please grab one. A copy of God's Word is around you somewhere. A white Bible, it should be. If not, feel free to look on with somebody. If you don't have a Bible, take it as a gift from our church. Acts 20. Like last week, we're just going to worship over one verse. Keep it real simple. One verse. Acts 20, verse 24. Verse 24. The Lord is going to show us in this verse how not to waste our life, but to maximize it. For what really matters. Verse 24 says this, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." That one verse. Speak, Lord. Verse 24 starts off with what word? You help me out. Just want to make sure y'all in the right verse. But, there you go. But is a sharp contrast from what was said before verse 24. And let me just explain the context. As Paul prepares to enter into his new gospel mission back to Jerusalem, the only thing that God has revealed to him is that he will suffer greatly. That's like me in Minnesota. I was raised in East St. Louis, moved around. But a few years ago, God told me to go back to East St. Louis. Paul was doing ministry in Jerusalem. He went a few places, and God said, go back to Jerusalem, Paul. And the only thing God told Paul is pain is coming for you. What would you do? That's all he said. How do I know? Look at verse 22 with me. Look at verse 22. It says, and now Paul says, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem. Constrained by the Spirit. That means tied up and pulled. He said, the Holy Spirit has tied me up and he's pulling me to Jerusalem. And watch this. He says, I don't know what will happen to me. Verse 23, look at it. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. That ain't good news. The Holy Spirit tied his soul up and pulled him to Jerusalem. And the only thing he said, Devin, is you're going to have some afflictions and some pain, Paul. Where the good news at, Lord? But here's a question for you and me this morning. How in the world did Paul say yes to that? So you know how to say yes to Jesus, because he's calling you to hard places too. How can Paul, knowing that he'll suffer imprisonment, verse 23, afflictions, verse 23, and probably death, how can he confidently say with joy, look at verse 22, I am going to Jerusalem. He said, yes, Lord. What kind of crazy fool are you, Paul? God just told you, if you say yes, only pain and suffering and affliction and imprisonment is going to happen to you. But you say, I'm going. And beyond that, turn over to chapter 21. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 21. It gets even crazier. Look at verse 13. This dude is crazy. He crazy, y'all. Verse 13. People had some sense. No, look at verse 12. When we heard this, that he was going to Jerusalem, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Like they shooting people on State Street, Campton. I say, I'm going. You said, don't go. Don't go. And for y'all that don't want me to preach, y'all say, go, Captain, go. But they said, don't go. And look what Paul said. Then Paul answered, what are you doing? Weeping and breaking my heart, y'all. They were crying. They knew Paul was on a suicide mission. He said, for I am ready not only to be in prison, but even die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, my goodness. The question is, how could Paul say, I'm ready to die? And that was way before Notorious B.I.G. If you know about his first album, he talking about he ready to die. Hope he was when he died. But this is thousands of years before Biggie. Paul said, ready to die. I'm ready to give myself away for the glory of God, even if it costs me my life. How could you say that, Paul? What Paul shows us in Acts 20, 24. Look at it again. This is not just Paul's testimony. This is the word of God. This is what God is speaking to you. Look at verse 24 again of chapter 20. How could you do that, Paul? Well, that's, well, read verse 24 and you'll know. I don't account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. That's how. I only want to finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Listen, brothers and sisters, Paul had one holy resolve. Paul had one pure passion. Paul had one radical reason for living. And when you have that, you can walk with Jesus in the midst of a lion's den, a fiery furnace, or people shooting up the corner and the block. He says, I just got to finish. Look, we let so many things shape the way we decide what we're going to do. Our fears, our failures, our idols, our sins, our friends, our neighbors. We let so many things determine what we're going to do next, how we're going to spend our lives. Paul said, one thing drove me. If you let your feelings and your emotions and your friends and your team and your this decide what you're going to do, you will always play it safe and have a nice, comfortable American life. But oh, if you get one resolve, you'll be written about in history as somebody that's worthy of following. How will you live the rest of your little dash of a life between your, you know that little dash that you see in the obituary, 1984-2017. All you got is that little dash between your birthday and your death day. How you gonna live that little dash? For what really matters? It's gonna be over soon. Well, God wants to help us through verse 24. This one resolve in three parts. Number one, listen, this is very personal. I know the body is made up of a corporate community, but this message is to you personally. Number one, how do you maximize your little dash of a life? Resolve in your heart that the only thing that makes your life precious or valuable is laying it down for the spread of the gospel. I realize this is deep stuff, but this is the word. And you're going to have so much joy if you embrace this. Resolve in your heart that the only thing that makes your life precious and valuable is spreading the gospel with your life. Where'd that come from? Look at verse 24. Paul says, I don't account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course. My brother Mike, love my brother. You know what Paul is saying? The only thing that is truly good and valuable in your life as a man is Christ, revealed through the gospel, in you and through you. Comparatively, nothing else matters. Nothing. The poem writer said it well. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. What's amazing, I looked at some of the original language in this verse in Greek. Paul declares, I do not account my life of any value. That's a great interpretation, because the word account is a financial term. You got to follow this. I'm like, okay, it's a financial term. So you're using financial terms. Paul, you're throwing me off. I don't like numbers. Me and Aaron was talking earlier. We don't like math. People that like athletes usually don't mess with math too much. But Paul uses an accounting term. Paul is saying, unless I invest my temporal life into the eternally valuable account of the gospel, my life is worth nothing. Paul is saying, zero gain if I don't give it all away for the gospel of Christ. Do you realize what he's saying? Your life is a big zero unless you, accounting, invest it into that which will last forever, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. Then he goes on and uses another strange Greek word. He says, I don't account my life of any value. Now follow me. You know what word that in two is? He translates it in English in two words, but in Greek it's one word. And this blew me away. The word is logos. Logos. Some of y'all might know what that means. Anybody know what logos means? Word. Word. Okay, so watch this. What is Paul saying? He says, I don't account my life as of any word. What? Listen to what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, my life is so utterly unimportant to me apart from the gospel that it's not even worth one word. What? Listen. He's saying, my sinful short life is not worth speaking a single word about unless that word is Jesus. Apart from Jesus, my life is so unimportant, eternally speaking, that it's not worth you talking about me unless you're talking about me as it relates to what God has done in my life and through my life through the gospel. Hush up talking about Kempton unless you're talking about the grace of God and the gospel in that weak man's life. He says, I don't account my life of speaking no words about me unless that word is Jesus. Wow. My ideas, my opinions, my interpretations, my insights are of no value apart from the infinite value of Christ. Then, watch this. He goes on to say in Acts 20:24 that his life was also not precious to him. Is that what it says in the Bible? He says, I don't account my life of any value nor as precious to myself. We got to hear this because this is what's going to make you say yes to the next hard call God gives you, your good God. Why you say that, Paul? Your life ain't precious to you apart from proclaiming the cross? Precious means greatly valued, loved, treasured. He is saying, listen, brothers and sisters, in light of the extreme value and preciousness of Christ, I do not greatly value, love, or treasure my life in and of itself. This is something worth discussing. Compared to the infinite preciousness of Christ, he says, my life ain't precious. It's not valuable at all. These are like cuss words in our day. It's like, what? In our love yourself, do you, I got to do me, selfie culture. These are like cuss words. What, Paul? You're supposed to get up and look in the mirror and say, I love you, big bald head, brown bald head boy. I love you. Crooked teeth and all, I love you. You're valuable. Special. Paul said, you don't understand. This is a liberating truth. This is a sweet freedom. Guess what? From yourself. How could Paul, a regular sinful person like me and you, say in Acts, I'm ready to die and really mean it? Because by God's grace, preaching Christ became more valuable to Paul than his own life. And if you think it was just Paul, he got that from Jesus. Mark chapter 8. Don't turn there. Read it later. Mark chapter 8, Jesus looked at his disciples, and he says, if you want to gain your life, you need to lose it. Like, give it away. And if you want to save your life, no, he said, if you want to lose your life, in the end, save it for you and your comforts now. But if you want to save your life, give it away to me. Invest it. Take your little penny and invest it in eternity and watch the dividends. He said, if you give up your life, Jesus says in Mark 8, for me and the gospel, are you going to gain it? You're going to gain it. And so, that's number one. Resolving your heart that the only thing that makes your life precious or valuable is laying it down for the spread of the gospel. But number two, how do you not waste your life? How do you maximize it for God's glory? How do you prepare yourself to say yes to Jesus? Number two, resolve, right? Make an irrevocable decision. That's what resolve means. Don't live by your feelings, y'all. Feelings matter, but they don't matter most. make an irrevocable decision that you will be faithful. Can somebody say faithful? Okay, that was weak. Y'all help me out. Help me out. Can y'all say faithful? Faithful. This is what he said. You got to make a decision by God's grace to be faithful and finish the gospel mission that you received from the Lord. Look at verse 24 again. It says, I do not account my life of any value nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish, there it is, my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus. My course, the ministry, what is he talking about? He's talking about the mission of God. He's using racing terms. I think Paul was up in the Colosseums all the time. Eating popcorn like, go, Diotrephos, go, Diotrephos, or whoever. Like, run. He used all these racing illustrations. He's like, I got to finish. I got this ministry. The Lord saved me, and he gave me this ministry, and I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to finish my course, this mission, to get the greatest news in the world, all over the world, that Jesus died and rose. He gave me that. And I can't get sidetracked by the nonsense. Christian, is your heart still beating? I think so. Y'all be done fell out. Okay. Is your heart still beating? Is your lungs still got breath in them? Have you ever asked why? Or you just get up and put on your clothes, wash your teeth, and go, look. Why are you still here? So that you would faithfully finish the gospel mission that you received from the Lord. Now, y'all got to hear this. Somebody might say, but I ain't Paul. What you talking about? I ain't Kempton. I ain't Mark. I ain't a pastor. I'm not a minister. Oh, 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 oh. Yes, you are. If you believe that Jesus died and rose for you, and you got the Holy Spirit in you, guess what you are? A minister of the gospel on the same ranking as the Apostle Paul. We are equal. Just because I'm up here, we are equal. Matthew 28, Jesus told all the disciples, go make disciples. Go tell them, all nations, that Jesus died and rose, and then sit down with them and open up your Bible and teach them how to live like me. That's your commission. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says we all have the ministry of, anybody remember? Reconciliation. What does that mean? That means, he goes on to explain, God is using you to beg people who don't know Jesus to come to Jesus. That's your ministry. Ephesians 2:10 says, all of us who are in Christ were made new creatures, his workmanship, to walk in good works that God designed before we even got here. Brothers and sisters, if you are a Christian, you are a minister, and you have been called to be faithful to the mission, because the Bible says when you see Jesus, he's going to ask you what you did with the greatest message in the universe. Oh, Lord, I was busy. You know, I had a lot of kids. I had a lot of stuff going on. You know how it is. You know, a lot of troubles, trials and tribulations, emotional challenges, mental traumas, and all of these things. And no. Please, brothers and sisters. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ for evaluation. This is not heaven and hell. This is not Revelation 20. If you're in Christ and you love Jesus, you're good for eternity. But now, there's going to be evaluation. The parable of the talents is so much. We ain't got time. Matthew 25, read that. It's like this owner gave certain talents to all these servants, and then he came back. What you think that represents? That's you. That's me. Jesus said, I died on the cross. People are going to hell. I saved you and you knew about how to get to heaven. and you was like, I'm busy, I'm doing, I got a career, I got a job, I got a this, I got a that, I got a lot of kids, I got a this, I got a da, da, da. I know that all the humans around you at your job, you're supposed to tell them the message. All the kids around your table, you're supposed to tell them the message. All the people at your school, you're supposed to tell them the message. I know your life is busy. I know you're around a lot of people. I put you around a lot of people, and I'm going to ask you, why did you not give them? It's the greatest message in the world. Paul said, I just want to be faithful. I want to finish. You're a minister. He said, I want to finish. And because God is faithful, Paul did finish. 2 Timothy 4, Paul said, I finished my course. I fought the good fight. I'm ready. Man, I just want to say that. Please pray for me. Sometimes people ask me, how can I pray for you? Pray that I would finish well. I could tear up right now thinking about the brothers and sisters that I started with in this Christian race. Many of y'all, too. I see some of y'all shaking your head. They gone. Where they at? Oh, man, Jesus, just a prophet, dog. I'm about to do. Oh, that woman. That woman, that pornography, that stealing, that lying, Oh, I'm good, man. I'm just doing me. I'm doing me. I don't go to church. I used to. We know some used to people. I don't want you. And please pray that I wouldn't become a used to person. Oh, I used to love the Lord. I used to read the Bible. I used to go to church. I used to be in community. I used to tell people about Jesus. No more used to people, Lord God. It's too serious. Life is too short. Hell is too long. The devil is too real. Too much work to be done. God is too good to become a used to person. Oh, keep us faithful, Lord. But I want you to be encouraged, brothers and sisters. Because 1 Corinthians 1, 7 through 9 says this. Hear closely, then we'll finish in our last point. It says, wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will keep you. Can you say keep you? He's going to keep you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. If you want to be kept, God will keep you loving Jesus. And he will keep you trusting Jesus. And yeah, you'll fall, but he'll pick you right back up, dust you off, and say, keep running. It reminds me, I saw again, the clip of Derek Redmond. You remember Derek Redmond, the Olympian? I saw it again, and it moves me so much. And I thought about how I want to finish so well, and I failed so much, and I fall. If you don't know that story, Derek Redmond was in the Olympics. He was running the 400 one time around. And he took off. I mean, this man... Look at the clip. It's on YouTube. Like, he took off and he was moving. And then all of a sudden, you see, pop. He popped his hamstring. He fell down in tears. He was in tears. And then he got back up. And he tried to finish, but he couldn't. And then all of a sudden, out of the stands, you see a heavy set big black man running out, and you see these little judges trying to stop him. No, don't get on, you can't get on the track. He was like, you better move out my way, you better get on. that's my boy. Moving him out the way, he went and got his son, picked him up, put his arm around him, and he said, I'm going to help you finish. His father helped you finish. That's the gospel. That's our hope. Yeah, we don't want to waste our life, but we're going to fall. And we're going to be hurt. We're going to sin. We're going to drift away a little bit, but you better know that you have a Father that's coming after you by the Spirit, through the Word, through your brothers and sisters. That's why it's good to have this community, because your Father runs from the stands and He uses your brothers and sisters and the Word and prayer and the Spirit to pick you back again, put you back up again so you can finish. God is with you. He's going to help you to not become a I used to Christian until you see His face. Lastly, in order not to waste your one brief life on this earth, resolve in your heart that you will testify. Can you say testify? Testify. Of the gospel of the grace of God as long as you live. Look at the end of verse 24 and then we're done. It says, he says, but I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus. What is that? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That blessed me right there, Mark. Because it's a weighty verse, and I'm like, oh, what I got to do? It's like, just testify, man. Testify. So you building all the way up for me just to testify? Like all of this, don't say a word about me, count it all as lost, not valuable, push away myself, I got to die to myself, if I fall, I got to be faithful. What is all this leading to? Brother, just testify, man. It's all right. You know how to do that. Brag on Jesus. Are you literally telling me that my whole life is basically to brag on Jesus? You could have just said that and we would have been gone. And what did he say? He said, testify. Paul's whole mission and the Bible's whole message can be summed up with these seven powerful words of testimony at the end of verse 24. The gospel of the grace of God. This is what Paul's course was all about. This was his ministry. This what fueled him to finish well, y'all. Five more minutes. Just hear me. And disciple of Christ, this is what your one short life is all about. The gospel of the grace of God. This is what he's given to you to spread through your life, through your lips, through your household, on your block, at the store, everywhere. This is what he's going to ask you about. Not your grades, not how much money you made, not your skills, not how many points you scored. He's going to ask you, what did you do with that grace in Christ on that cross that I gave you? Let me close out. What is the gospel of the grace of God? If this is our mission, simply put, it's the good news about how God freely forgives sinners and makes them righteous by faith in the death and resurrection of His Son. That's what your life is about. And if that's not exciting, then we need to get you a sabbatical, so that you can get alone and see that in the face of Jesus is eternal value. That's what your life is. The good news about how God freely forgives sinners and makes them righteous by faith in the death and resurrection of His Son. I hope you believe in that cross. And I love, Brett, I love that it's called the gospel of grace. Can y'all shout grace? Grace. Oh, man, it's the gospel of grace. It's the free, kind power of God. Brother, I'm so glad that it's not called the gospel of works, because I can get lazy. I'm just being real. I'm so glad it's not called the gospel of performance, because, Aaron, my performance is bad. I'm so glad it's not called the gospel of self-righteousness, because I'm a sinful, raggedy dude. I'm so glad that it's not called the gospel of morality, because I wanted to be a pimp. That ain't gonna make it. I'm so glad that it's not called the gospel of religion. I almost need an organ up in here. Because I hate religion. I'm so glad it's not called the gospel of be a good person, because I'm a bad person. It's called the gospel of grace, because we all welcomed in. It's free. So your life is about telling the testimony that you don't have to pay to get to heaven. That's great news. Jesus already did. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful gospel of grace. I hope you receive that. Testify, brothers and sisters, to everybody, everywhere you go, that Jesus paid for you. He took the wrath of God that you deserve so that you can enjoy him and know him and love him. Paul says, that's my mission. So, one last time, and we'll respond. Wholeheartedly embrace this. Do not account your life of any value, nor as precious to yourself, only that you may finish your course and the ministry that you received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. This is the only thing that will matter in the end. And when you see Jesus, the lover of your soul, with tears of joy after your one short life is over, you're going to be glad that you gave your life away to the one radical reason for living, to know Christ and to make him known. Would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet in God's presence? Pray with me as we respond to this word from God. Father, I love that picture of Derek Redmond's father bursting through the field judges, busting through the crowd, to come and help his son finish well. You are a good, good father. And you are here today to pick us up where we've fallen. Fallen away from the word. Fallen away from intimacy. Fallen away from testifying. Too close to being a used to Christian. Oh God, thank you for this word. Thank you for your death and resurrection. Thank you that you come and you pick us up and you help us to finish. You say, get up and make your life count for the worthiest cause in the universe, Christ, and testifying to everybody that Jesus has made a way. Lord, help us to give our lives away to what really matters. Finishing this gospel mission in this city, in this region, in this world. If you don't know Christ, just call out to him. If you need prayer like we all do, would you come and let us serve you and pray for you? Let's respond to this.